Now, so what I'm going to be sharing about this morning, and this is kind of like a series that we're going into. It all started with how David started us off in the new year, where he spoke in the first Sunday about the prayer of Jabez, who prayed, "Oh Lord, that you would bless me." And so what we're going to do is look at the blessing of God. The emphasis this morning is on passages that are largely found in the old part of the Bible, which we call the Old Testament, which is the biggest portion of the Bible. And then on another section, another time, we will look at blessing in the New Testament, which is actually quite different in many ways to that in the Old Testament. We're going to be looking at aspects connected with God's blessing. This morning, the title is a question, and that is this: what does it mean to be blessed, and how can I get it? That's what you want to know, isn't it? We instinctively think that blessing is good, and I agree with you. Well, then, we want to know, how do we get it? And this is a lovely subject. I've thoroughly enjoyed looking into this, because it's good news, really. So if I could sum up what does it mean to be blessed, and like everything, you say something and it's not the total picture. So if you see something and you think, well, hang on, that's not the total picture, well, just bear with me. Give me a chance to explain and fill some details in. But what does it mean to be blessed? I think two things. As I've been looking at this subject and listened to other people and read things and all the rest of it, I think I can boil it down to two basic things. I think, first thing, what does it mean to be blessed in your life by God? And that is basically things go well for you. Things end up going well for you. So much so that people could look on you and your situation in your life and say, gosh, isn't she lucky? Isn't that person fortunate? Why would that happen to them? That's what happened to me. You know? So outwardly, things go well for you. The second thing is then that follows on from outward things going well, that inwardly, there comes upon you where you live a life of peace and fulfillment. People talk about it's a real blessing to live a long and happy life. So those two things, things go well for you and you're at peace and you're, I suppose, there's a happiness and a fulfillment about your life as you go through life. Now, let me just go straight to the Bible where we can find some evidence for this from the scriptures, from the Bible. And we'll go to Deuteronomy chapter 28 and I'm going to read the first 14 verses. So here we go. And it says, from verse 1, it says, if you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commands that I give you today, then the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on earth. All these blessings will come on you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. You will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed, and the crops of your land and the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flocks. Your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. Now bear in mind, this was about the situation in the nation of Israel some 3,000 or so years ago. So you've got to bear that in mind. We're not talking about iPads and computers and cars and things like that. They weren't invented. So they're talking in that sort of language. Verse 6, you will be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. The Lord will grant that the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. They will come at you from one direction, but flee from you in seven. The Lord will send a blessing on your barns and on everything you put your hand to. The Lord your God will bless you in the land he is giving you. The Lord will establish you as his holy people as he promised you on oath, if you keep the commands of the Lord your God and walk in obedience to him, then all peoples on earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they will fear you. The Lord will grant you abundant prosperity in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock, and the crops of your ground, in the land he swore to your ancestors to give you. The Lord will open the heavens, the storehouse of his bounty, to send rain on your land in season, and to bless all the work of your hands. You will lend to many nations, but will borrow from none. The Lord will make you the head, not the tail. If you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I give you this day and carefully follow them, you will always be at the top, never at the bottom. So don't turn aside from any of the commands I give you today, to the right or to the left, following other gods and serving them. I'm sure you'll agree with me, that's a remarkable list of wonderful things here. If I could sum them up, let's try and sum them up, put them just in a few words. There is health and well-being, number one. Second thing, oh, it's up there. Let's read that. Success, advancement and promotion, able to reproduce and be fruitful, prosperity, victory over enemies, and all this could be summed up as God's favour. It's brought into even starker contrast when you consider the opposite, because actually it doesn't stop there, because there are some terrible things that follow on from this, which are under the category of curses for disobedience. And I'm not going to read all those, but I'm going to sum them up. They will come up next. They are this. And just think of these. These are the negative things. But they throw into much sharper contrast the blessing side. If someone is under a curse, according to this passage, what are the features? Well, firstly, humiliation. Mental and physical sickness. Family breakdown and dysfunction, poverty, defeat, oppression, failure, God's disfavor. Okay, now, instinctively as Christians, we know that that's not God's plan for your life and my life. It throws, I think, into clearer view what the blessings are. But I just want to share with us, before I just go into this and answer the question, how can I receive the blessing of God in my life? I want to just say that there are two, should we say, extreme points of view, I would put them, about the blessing of God. You see, some say this, that this passage here, it's in the book of Deuteronomy, and it's in the Old Testament. Some say, you know, well, I don't really see that that applies to us today. Because I'm not Jewish, I'm not 3,000 years old, and I don't live in Israel, and that was all then. We're now under the new covenant with Jesus as Lord, and we're Christians. But actually, that's not true, because if you look at Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 to 14, Paul, the Jew, writes this to Gentiles, that is non-Jews, and he says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it's written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. He, that is Jesus, redeemed us, that is, bought us back. Redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles, that is, us non-Jews, through Jesus Christ. So who qualifies for this? From this passage here, you and I. If we have faith in Jesus Christ, then the father of the Jews, Abraham, the blessing given to him, whom God said he would bless in all things, just like this passage in Deuteronomy 28, the blessing given to Abraham comes on the Gentiles, you and me, here in Grimsby in 2016, through faith in Jesus Christ. So if you're in Christ, then you qualify for the blessing of God. Not only that, if we look at 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16, it says this. Paul writes to Timothy and he says, all scripture, that is all the Bible, is God-breathed. We heard it this morning. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, correcting, training in righteousness, so the man or woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So the Bible is quite clear in the New Testament that actually the Old Testament is totally applicable and all scripture is of use and relevant and applicable. So to say that, well, that doesn't really apply, doesn't wash. But there are some people, though, on the other hand, the other extreme, who say, well, do you know what? If you're not experiencing the classic characteristics of the blessing of God in your life, as I read them out earlier to you, so what are they? Health and well-being, success in all that you do, advancement and promotion, able to reproduce, be fruitful, prosperity, victory over enemies, all those sort of things. If you're not experiencing those things in your life, then there must be something wrong with you. And you're a sinner, perhaps, and you've not turned from your sin. So there's something blocking God's blessing on your life, they would say. But it doesn't stop there, because there are some then, and one of these movements I would like to suggest is what's called the prosperity gospel movement, which comes out and sort of says, well, the key to your blessing, the key to releasing the blessing of God on you, is if you make a gift to this ministry, and this will unlock the blessing of God on your life. Now, the problem here is that there is truth in it. And we as a church believe in generosity, and that actually being generous and giving releases God's blessing on your life. We as a church believe in tithing, for example, that to give, we would encourage people to give a tenth of your income to God, because it's a biblical principle, and we believe it does. God will bless you as a result of that. But to actually put someone's hand up behind their backs and say, the reason that you're not in full health, the reason that there's a blockage in your life in some area, some aspect of the blessing of God that we read here in the Bible is not flowing in your life because you're actually not doing the right thing, and use it to manipulate people and condemn people, is, I don't think, right at all. It's unrighteous. Joe told me a story, actually, the other day, and I will qualify it, but he said there's an evangelist who, a lady who'd not been healed for a number of years, came up to this evangelist and said, why is it, Pastor, that, you know, I've not been healed all these years? I mean, and he said, because you haven't got enough faith. Right, and the thing is, I don't agree with that. I would say, how much faith have you got to have then to get healing? Now, the thing is, it could be true, because we know from Jesus that if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, get up and be thrown in the sea, and it'll obey you. But the point is, what's actually happening here? Now, to be fair to this guy, this evangelist, I think he was under pressure. I think this woman was coming at him with a bit of a wrong attitude. Why there am I not being here right? You know, that sort of attitude. And as a bit of a retort, he responds and says, you haven't got enough faith, you know, to sort of get her off his back. But the thing is, there are people who genuinely think that actually it's your fault. If you've got a long-term sickness, you're at fault. You're a sinner. You've not repented from it. And that could be the case, possibly could be the case, but I think in most cases it's not that. And we have to watch and be wise. And one of the gifts of the Spirit is the spirit of discerning of spirit, discernment of what's actually going on here. Because there's truth, but then truth can be pushed to a point where it's a non-truth. And the devil masquerades as an angel of light. And so we have to be careful, don't we? So these two extremes about blessing, saying, well, it doesn't apply at all. And then others say, yeah, you know, if you're not living according to these characteristics, you're a sinner. God's against you. He's holding back his blessing. And give us some money for our ministry. And then that will release the, in the extreme. So I want to ask then just another question, because I am coming to the last bit of this, which is how can I receive God's blessing? I just want to ask another question. Why do Christians not experience the blessing of God in their lives? Or not appear to it, anyway. Why would that happen? And I just want to put something to you, just from here, from a point of observation of life and reasonable deduction. Okay, and I'll ask you another question. Can I ask you this? Are there people out there in our world today who seem or would appear to fit the description of being blessed by God, but don't know God at all and actually are God's enemies, don't even believe in God? Are there? Okay, I agree with you, and I'll quote something from the Bible, because Psalm 73, verses 2 and 3 says this. The psalmist wrote, and he says, "But as for me, my feet came close to stumbling." Do you know why? He said, "My steps had almost slipped, for I was envious of the arrogant as I saw the prosperity of the wicked." There's loads of people out there who have nothing to do with God, deny God exists, and not in the favour of God. But I tell you what, there's lots of people out there who are healthy and well, but they make you sick, actually, don't they? Yeah. Yeah. You know, good looking, got loads of money, got everything they want in life, successful, enemies. Well, I don't have any enemies because they just buy the way out of it with all the money they've got. I mean, it's just, well, let me put this to you then. If that's the case, if it's true that people can experience blessing when they are not under God's favour, then it's not consistent to insist that Christians who may not be experiencing blessing at any particular point in their life are doing something wrong and incurring God's disfavour. I'll just tell you something. I didn't hear that. I made that all myself. Thank you. Thank you. So, if the wicked are blessed and it's not from God, then I won't continue saying that, because I'm going to get myself all twisted up. If the wicked are blessed and that's not from God, then if the righteous are not blessed, then you can't say that's from God either. Yeah. So that's my first point, and I'm answering this question: why do Christians not experience blessing, or appear not to be? The second reason is this. We live, would you agree, in a bit of a broken, corrupt, sinful world, and things don't work as they should do. There's all sorts of heartache and breaking of relationships and trouble in our world. Is that right? Okay. My second point to you is this. It is unrealistic to live in a world like that, as we do, and for this not to impact on my life in some way negatively, at least at some point. I'll give you an example of that. Liz and I were missionaries in Jordan for about 6 years. And coming to the end of that time, I was thinking, do you know what? I'm a bit frustrated here. I just want to get back to the UK. Our time had finished there. And I thought, you know, I've been frustrated. I'm looking forward to good things happening to me in the UK. And I did a PGCE and became a teacher. And I ended up in quite a rough school down the road in Grimsby. And I then entered into the worst 4 years of misery that I'd ever experienced in my whole life. I thought, for goodness sake, I've been a missionary. I've served God since the age of 23. God, what is this? This is like being in prison. And it took 4 or 5 years to get to the point where I could get out of that. I always say, I was never quite bad enough to get the outright sack. But I was always bad enough for it to be a miserable experience for me. And I would get up in the morning and say, have I got to go to that place and go in that situation again? And the worst thing was, you'd look around at other teachers who've got nothing to do with God at all. Don't believe in him, don't follow him. And they're brilliant at it. And I'm there like, I don't know what. And it's torture. But it's unrealistic for you and I to live in a world where bad things happen to good people and to say it's not going to happen to me. It's unrealistic. The third thing is, why do Christians not experience God's blessing or appear not to? We have an enemy. His intent, the devil, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And Jesus said, you will have trouble in this world because you've got an enemy. And if one of the features of being blessed by God is a long life, then what about Christians all over the world these days who stand up for the Lord, serve him faithfully, and then somebody comes and shoots them in the head because of their faith, or runs over them by a tank, runs over their family and their children with a tank because they follow Jesus and don't turn away from him at young ages? If a long age and a happy and fulfilled life is it, then why do bad things happen to good people? I tell you what, one of the reasons is we have an enemy whose purpose is to steal, to kill and destroy. And until you know that, you won't really make sense of life. The fourth reason why we cannot experience classic signs of God's blessing is if one is under a curse. Is this fairy tale? Is this Harry Potter make-believe? I think curse is a very real phenomenon in the world, and it comes from witchcraft. And again, when Liz and I were in Jordan, we were 2 years of intense language study just to start with. There's a lovely Christian teacher there, Arabic teacher, and her name was Asma. She's Jordanian. Being of Arab descent, and in that culture they have lots of family, you know, lots of kids and an extended family. And she was known, from when Liz and I were there, that it was always males, key male figures in her family, started dying for no apparent reason. This reason, that reason, there'd be another reason. Her father died, one of her sons, her close cousin, and uncle, in strange circumstances. And then it happened, I think, to at least another one, if not two, people while Liz and I were there. And then when Liz and I came back, when we were back in Britain, we heard that her son, her youngest son, was in a car accident in Beirut. And it was a strange thing. Cars came and smashed the car up and he was killed. What's that? It's a curse. One of the things that we're going to look at is that I'm going to share with you, hope to bring to you in 2 weeks' time, is moving from curse to blessing. All right, next one. So the fifth thing. So let's just have a look. Well, we could say bad things happen to good people. It's unrealistic to live in a world, broken world, and that not to affect you and I. We've got an enemy. Let's be honest. There is such a thing, I think, as well as blessing, of cursing. But that can... Listen, let me tell you, we don't go on a witch hunt about these sort of things. But if it's there, we deal with it. And the Bible says that Jesus took the curse so that you could be blessed. And it breaks every curse. The blessing of God breaks every curse. Amen. And if we can pray for you today, if you feel you're affected by some sort of generational, hereditary curse, then we will pray for you and break that today. You can do it now in Jesus' name. Any curse, we stand against it. We stand against it and we say the blood of Jesus breaks the power of the enemy over our lives. In Jesus' name, we receive freedom and entering into the blessing of God. In Jesus' name, amen. the third thing is that God allows us, this is called in theological terms, technical terms, God's permissive will. Did you know that God actually allows his people to experience periods of failure and defeat as part of his work in our lives? Did you know that? In Hebrews 12, or is it 11? I'm not sure. 11, I think. Hebrews 11, the writer there says this, consider hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. And so the inference there is that hardship does come, and look, you know, God's treating you as sons and daughters here. You'll know the story perhaps of Job right in the middle of the Old Testament. And Job, the devil one day, Satan, comes to God, and God says to the devil, and you can read it in the first chapter of Job, God says to the devil, he says, have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. He was God's Billy Graham at the time. He was top notch, number one Christian, walking righteous before God. And God allowed the enemy to break him. Well, it didn't break him because he maintained his integrity no matter what happened to him. His property was destroyed. Some of his close relatives were killed. And to top it all, you can cope perhaps with maybe, I don't know, maybe some of that, but then he was struck with boils, festering boils from top of his head to the sole of his feet. But in all that, he didn't turn on God. He stayed faithful to God. But the point is that God allowed that. God allowed it. Okay, he didn't cause it. The devil did. But God allowed it. It was his permissive will. And I have to tell you that sometimes that does happen. Well, let me put it this way. It happened to me. There have been times in my life where I have known personal defeat. And I'm not being successful in this, that, or the other. Various times that has happened. But it's not because, I don't believe it's because I'm displeasing God. Or because I've dropped out of the favor of God group. So it's part of God's permissive will. And then the last thing I just want to say, why aren't people blessed, is the blessing of God may not be outwardly visible. The blessing of God may not be outwardly visible. Jesus said in Matthew 6 and verse 19, do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. You see, you could be a missionary out on the mission field like some guys did in the jungles of South America, and he was a young man, I've forgotten his name, Jim Elliot, that's the one. Jim Elliot, a young man in his 20s, leading a missionary team to some cannibals in the jungles in South America. And he was killed. Does it matter? I don't think it matters at all. I don't think he's lost out one bit. Yeah, but he didn't get a long, prosperous... No, it doesn't matter. There's things going on that we don't see. And Jesus says, don't store up, don't waste your time investing in this world. Serve God and put your trust in him and work for him first and foremost. And you'll have treasure in heaven. You can't see that. Of course you can't. But you know it's there if you're a man or woman of faith in him and trust in him. So the blessing of God may not be visible, but nevertheless it's there. So a question for you today, are you storing up treasure in heaven, or are you just investing in this life for now? So that's some of the reasons why I just wanted to get that off my chest, so to speak. Just wanted to say why some Christians don't appear to be in the blessing of God, but they're may well be, and even if they're not, it doesn't mean that it's because of God's disfavor on their lives. As soon as something goes wrong, you think, oh, have I done something wrong? Probably not. Well, let's come on to this to close. classic signs, how do we receive the blessing of God? Well, you may have noticed from here, these verses are totally conditional. They're conditional to certain things that we need to fulfill. Number one, how do we receive the blessing of God? First of all, you've got to understand that it is, really is, God's heart to bless you. He so much prefers to bless than to rebuke. So, so much. And his heart for you this morning is that you would flow and know his blessing. And I can say that about my life. Like I've alluded to already, there have been various times in my life where I have known the opposite to this. But I've not sinned. I've not done something awful that's triggered that. It's just life, for the reasons I've explained. But I have to say, overall, like the psalmist in one of the early psalms, he says, the boundary lines for me have fallen in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. And I have to say to you today that I would not swap being a Christian and living my life in the will of God as far as I'm able. I would not swap it for anything. And I'm a blessed person. And that's because of God, and it's not because of anything I've done. But I have fulfilled certain conditions, which I'm sharing with you. God wants to bless you. Number two, second thing is, what it says here in the opening verses, it says, if you fully obey the Lord your God, he will set you high and all these blessings will come upon you. And I believe they will. And the key Hebrew words for bless is the word barak. And barak actually means, the root word is to kneel. And the knees are one of the weakest part of your body. And the point is here that when we kneel before God in our hearts, we submit our lives to him, then God supernaturally strengthens us in the weak areas of our lives and makes what shouldn't happen happen. Makes strengths that we don't naturally have come out. Like Paul writes in Philippians, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So the first thing is to submit your life fully to the will of God in your life. Now, here's a question. Have you done that? Do you want to? So the next one is, God wants to bless you. Fully obey the Lord. And then the third thing is, it actually says, if you will listen diligently to the voice of the Lord your God and obey him. And it literally says, listening. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm the sort of person that is very good appearing to listen, but not listening. You ever done that? You know, you stand there, someone's talking, but actually I'm interested in that's going over there, and it's very rude, and I should jolly well stop it, and listening. And in other words, it's kind of like taking God seriously. It's paying attention to him. Now, if you're going to do that, if you're going to take him seriously and listen to his voice, so it's not just obeying. How are you going to obey what you don't hear? What you don't know to do? So you've got to put yourself in a situation where you can hear and then obey. And to do that, you've got to be in his presence. You've got to know him. And the last thing is this, that you need to enter into a special relationship with God through Jesus. Now, it says special, and it is, but you don't have to be special to enter into the special relationship with the Lord. And my question for you today is, have you entered into the special relationship with Jesus? Do you know him? Now, Shelley and Tim, are Tim and Shelley here? No. All right, well, anyway, at the Christmas time, Tim, as part of the Christmas carol service, he did this wonderful thing about, do you know him? Do you know him? Do you know him? And coming to church does not mean you know the Lord. Reading your Bible, wearing a cross, does not mean that you have a special relationship with Jesus. You don't have to be special to enter the special relationship, but it is a special and it's a unique relationship that belongs to those who say, I want to know you, Lord. Forgive me my sins. I recognize I'm a sinner. I recognize I don't do everything right and I need God's help. And I want to give my life to you and come into that relationship with you so that I can hear. I can hear what you say and I can obey you in my life. If you're saying that today, then I'd love to pray with you for that. And that's it really. This is a wonderful subject. What does it mean to be blessed? And how can I get it? And that's how you get it. By following the instructions on the tin. And then what's inside the tin will do exactly what it says on the instructions. So, I wonder if the music team could just come up. And I've asked if David would do something as well this morning. I know he's leading the meeting, but as the, shall we say, high priest of the church, he doesn't like being called pastor. Never mind, you know, I'm calling the high priest, you know, as the Aaron or the Moses or whatever. I thought it'd be really good if he, and maybe even, I don't know if Anne-Marie would join him, or you might not want to, but you know, oh, would that be all right? And if they proclaim over you the high priestly prayer that is found in Numbers chapter 6. If you say, I want, I put it this, you, actually, do you know what? God blesses even when you don't deserve it. And you might not even be fulfilling the conditions according to what I've said. That is, entering into a relationship with the Lord. Bowing the knee, submitting your life fully to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and obeying him fully. You may not even be doing that. But do you know what? You could even be blessed, even if you're not. But I would advise don't stop there. Don't stop there. But give your life to the Lord. Sincerely seek to serve him and put him first in your life. And then I can promise you, not because I say it, but I can, well, through personal experience, yes, but I can promise you from the Word of God, which is appropriate and applicable today, that you will start to be blessed in your life. So, could I just invite us to stand? And I wonder if David and Anne-Marie would mind coming out and just doing that and speaking God's blessing over you. If you want a blessing, stand up. If you want to be blessed, I have faith. I just believe that as David and Anne-Marie do this, that there is a blessing coming to you. So.
This is what the Lord said to Moses. He said, tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, why don't you lift your hands up and receive this? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen.